Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 10. This is God's word. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. Ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. He who winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. The wages of the righteous bring them life, but the income of the wicked brings them punishment. He who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. A fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom. What the wicked dreads will overtake him. What the righteous desire will be granted. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous, but it is the ruin of those who do evil. The righteous will never be uprooted, but the wicked will not remain in the land. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. These are Proverbs of Solomon, it says at the start of the chapter. It's not a narrative. It's a series of sayings. Nevertheless, inspired by God and important for our instruction and our correction, because all of us need a tune-up. You may be going through and it's like, yes, amen, amen, amen. Ooh. We see something that tells us, I need to change. In this, Solomon uses what we often find in Scripture. We see it a lot in the Psalms. We've talked about it there. It's called parallelism, where instead of rhyming, the Hebrew poet would have parallel thoughts. And so though the mountains may depart and the hills may be removed, yet my steadfast love will not depart from you. Now, what's the difference between hills and mountains? Just one of size. What's the difference between departing and being removed? Well, in both cases, they're gone. The idea is you state this, then you state it slightly differently. And we see that in the very first verse here. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. Does this mean that a foolish son doesn't bring grief to his father? Or that a wise son doesn't bring joy to his mother? Not at all. It's a way of saying twice for emphasis and clarity, this is true. But then we see something else with parallel thoughts in this, and that is the fact that there's a lot of contrast. He'll state this, and then he'll say, what is different than that? And so, ill-gotten treasure, verse 2, ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. In the first one, you've got a contrast between wise and foolish. In the second, you've got a contrast between ill-gotten treasures and righteousness. Obviously, you can't have both. It is not righteous to get money in the wrong way. And there's a lot about that, not only in the book of Proverbs, but throughout the scripture. And if you think that getting money is the goal, as we said last time, then you're going to end up empty. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added to you. So in this passage, we see a lot of instruction about how we ought to live. And there's emphasis on the importance of work. Look at verses 4 and 5. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So again, you've got a comparison and contrast in those verses, emphasizing not only the value of work, but the fact that if you don't work, it's disgraceful. It is unrighteous. It is foolish. It does not end well. If your goal is to not work, it's disgraceful. It's evil in God's sight. Well, I thought work was part of the curse. No. Before man sinned, God commanded him to fill the earth and subdue it. He gave him responsibilities. And we're supposed to work. What the curse brought was all kinds of frustration in our work. But the fact of the matter is, work is a gift. To be able to work is a blessing. And if you do your work as unto the Lord, your work will be blessed by the Lord. Well, it says here, lazy hands make a man poor. There are some other things that can make a man poor, like a wicked oppression on the part of others, or an oppressive government that destroys the fruit of our labor by creating inflation that makes it so that we think we're making more money, but for some reason we can't buy as much with it. There are various things that contribute to poverty, but one that's guaranteed is laziness. If you are lazy, God will see to it that you do not prosper for long. And all of us are going to give an account to him one day for what we did with what he entrusted to us.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
There's a lot in this passage about the mouth. Verse 8. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. What's a chattering fool? It's not just someone who's talkative, but it's someone who's speaking that which is not wise. And there's a warning in here, and that is that if you keep talking, you're liable to say the wrong thing. Verse 8 says a chattering fool comes to ruin. Verse 10 says a chattering fool comes to ruin, just in case you missed it in verse 8. If you look at verse 13, wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. Verse 14, wise men store up knowledge. The mouth of a fool invites ruin. Look at verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent. In other words, if you talk a lot, sooner or later you're going to say something you shouldn't. Guaranteed. So, what we say is very important. Verses 20 and 31 and 32, the chapter ends with, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. Okay, well, I don't like the book of Proverbs. Well, read the book of James. The book of James tells you about the power that's in your words, the power of the tongue. People get wounded by what others say. And some folks, if the thought enters their mind, they have no filter. It's not kind. It's not helpful. It's not appropriate. But the mouth can bless people. It can encourage and build up. And the book of Proverbs is filled with encouragement about the power that you have to say things to bless others, to encourage them. Use that. Pray that God will give you a timely word, a helpful word. Lots of things in this chapter, but our focus today, the main point, is verse 29. Take a look. Verse 29 says, the way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous, but it is the ruin of those who do evil. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous, but it is the ruin of those who do evil. Both parts of this comparison and contrast are absolutely vital for our understanding. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous. You can trust in the Lord that he will reward and protect those who are doing what he commands. If you're walking in the way of the Lord, no matter what else is going on in life, whether you've got a hostile government or just an incompetent government or one that manages to be both, whatever's going on, God will take care of his own. And that is stated elsewhere in this chapter as well. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, verse 3. But he thwarts the craving of the wicked. If somebody is God's enemy and they refuse to repent, God says he'll deal with it. One of his promises, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. There are a whole lot of folks who just want to scrub those verses out of the Bible because we don't want to think of God in those terms. We feel it's better for sales if we just kind of present God as this sweet grandfatherly fellow, the way that my grandchildren see my wife. But in this passage, God says that his ways are a refuge. They're a refuge for the righteous. But it is the ruin of those who do evil. God's ways are the ruin of those who do evil. Why? Because God promises, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In Amos chapter 5, verse 18, one of the less popular verses during this current period of strong emphasis on eschatology. You're not sure what eschatology is. It's the study of the last things, when the Lord's going to come back. But Amos 5:18, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? Why would God say such a thing? What a horrible, discouraging message. Well, for whom? He was speaking to a group of people who kept up the religious festivals and their idolatry. They wanted it both ways. They wanted to bring their sin into the kingdom. They wanted to say, well, it's not bad because I like it. And God says no. Amos was God's spokesman to a bunch of people who were still at enmity against God. They were still hostile to God's truth and God's ways. And God said through him, don't think that it's going to be good for you when I show up. It's not. You need to repent. 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 Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons? We did all kinds of stuff for you, Jesus. He says, I'm going to say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Man, if they're prophesying in Jesus' name and casting out demons and working miracles, if somebody is doing all that and they're doing it in Jesus' name, how can he say he doesn't know them? Well, I'm glad you asked. Where is their hope? Where is their confidence? It's in what they did. We did this, we did this, we did this, we did this. The evangelism explosion questions that have been used all around the world involve asking a person, if God were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? If your response is, well, I did this and I did this and I did this, you're not going to heaven. Because you're either in Christ or you're not. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, says, don't be deceived. And he makes a whole list of folks who were adulterers, who were murderers, who were doing all kinds of sinful stuff. And he says, those folks are not going to enter the kingdom of God. Don't kid yourself. If that's you, if you think you can continue in sin that grace may abound, God forbid. Not going to happen. But the last phrase in that section from 1 Corinthians 6 says, and such were some of you. That's what you used to be. That's what you used to do. That's not who you are anymore if you're in Christ. God doesn't say you have to live a perfect life. He says you have to be in Christ. You and I don't live perfect lives, but we have a perfect Savior. And if your hope is in Him, you are declared righteous by God. That's the only solution. That is the only hope. That is the only promise. If you are in Christ, you are declared righteous. If you are not in Christ, your righteousness is like filthy rags. Your best stuff stinks. Jesus told a story in the New Testament about a fellow who had a great party, and the people he invited declined to come. And so he sent his servants out to round up folks just off the street. Just bring them in. Compel them to come in so that the banquet hall was full. But then it says something, because Jesus always has this way of finding something too. Jesus said that the owner, the one who was given the feast, saw a fellow there who was not dressed in wedding garments. And he said, what are you doing here without wedding garments? Get out. Now, you might read that and say, well, I thought he compelled people to come in off the street. How can he expect them to all be walking down the street dressed for a wedding? He didn't expect them to be dressed for a wedding when they're walking down the street. The host provides the garments for those guests. And this guy decided, I don't need that. I'm good the way I am. I've never been one for dress up. I really just have more comfortable feel. I just like to dress like this. I'm comfortable in my own stuff. That's the road to hell. If you refuse the only righteousness that is truly righteous, if you refuse to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is no other hope. In John chapter 3, we all love verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him will not be destroyed, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? In the next verse, verse 17, it says, for God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. I love John 3. Well, good. Continue on to verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Back to Proverbs chapter 10. If you are righteous in Christ, God's ways are your refuge. But if you refuse the righteousness which he gives through grace, you'll be ruined. Guaranteed by God. He will see to it. I pray that you receive his grace, that you trust in him, that you cast yourself upon the Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.